So he's outside.
Yes, he's outside. He is. He's a little bit shaken up from his experience, but he is outside and he says he's ready to do a podcast.
Okay, that's great news. And thanks, Gareth. Thank you for bringing him over. I know, you know, you took some time out of your
schedule. My ghost hunting schedule, yes.
And you do the YouTube channel now as
well,
of course.
I do as well, yes, I do. But I thought this is such an interesting case of possession that I thought I'd give it a go, you see. So we had to go through a very elaborate exorcism process.
I was going to ask, how did you actually draw the demon out?
Well, it was a very, very vicious class 7 demon. Very horrible thing.
It was. He terrorized me.
Yes.
He broke my window, went out.
No, he did some terrible things.
At me, it was there was something there, and it was. Oh.
So anyway, what happened is this: I had to lie him down on the altar. See, lie him down.
Well, how did you find him? Firstly,
we found him in a bush in the zoo, just outside the pig pens in the zoo,
like American Werewolf in London,
just like that. Yes. Said it wasn't pig pens, it was something else in that.
It was wolf pen.
It was wolf pens, yeah. That's what it was. You found him in the wolf pens in London Zoo.
Oh, right, and he was naked.
Yeah, he sensed to go back there, and he was naked and shivering. And so I managed to bag him up and drag him back to my altar, where I put him down.
Is that in where you live?
Yes, I have a little outdoor, little like a shed.
A little shed at the
back.
With
a little stone altar in, you see. Don't make me do the voice for too long, it's hard.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, I put him on the altar.
No,
naked as the
Welsh.
Day he was
it
born.
Needs to be more Welsh.
I'm trying. Listen, I put him on the altar.
All right, Gareth, yes.
Naked as the day he was born. And then I had to get me willy out, didn't I? Nice bit of fungal tip. And I wiggled it under his nose, wiggly woo.
We know this was going. I knew this was his only thing.
And because I knew it was a terrible possession, I had to get the gunk up for a few days beforehand to get a real cheesy, mouldy kind of, you know, like
the... Okay, that's how you did it then. Please, send him in. Please.
I mean, my tip of my cock, it looked
Gareth.
Like cheese it did. It looked like that blue cheese you get.
All right, Gareth, thank
so
you.
So then anyway, I squeezed it onto the tip of his nose and went, come out, evil demon. And the demon don't like the smell of my cheesy cock, he doesn't. So he goes, oh, I'm out of here. And off he went, back to the devils and demons in the netherworld. And since then, Paul's been recuperating. Been recuperating, he has.
Very good, Gareth. Very good work. And please, if you could just bring him in. We have to do the podcast.
Yeah, no, I'll go out. And on the way out, I'll bring him in, all right?
Okay, just,
all right.
I might just sort of stand up.
You want to open a window, isn't it? There's still remnants of my exorcism.
I know.
All right, I'm off. All right, let me bring him in now. Hang on. Oh, sit down here. All right. Oh.
Hello, Paul. You're back with us.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Can I apologise, first of all, for everything that I did under possession?
It wasn't you. We know it wasn't you, Paul.
I know.
You did some terrible things under that demon spell.
I don't really want to talk about the killings.
Not the killings. You did things much worse.
I know.
You went on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Shut up.
3 hours.
Shut up. I wasn't meant to... It wasn't...
You were talking about magic gemstones
that
cure cancer with Joe Rogan.
It's not. And all this political stuff I said, ignore that. And all the stuff I said about women, just ignore it. I was possessed by Kalkalkoff.
Oh, was that the name of the demon?
Yeah.
Well, Gareth didn't know the name.
No, he wouldn't have known because I had him in me. So I'm just looking.
Well, he's
anyway,
gone now. He's 100% gone now.
The thing I'm trying to say is this, mate, right?
And you've cleaned your nose, just to be clear.
Yeah, no, I've wiped it. I use a Dettol wipe. It was fine. I mean, I can still smell it, but
I don't think that smell ever leaves you, really.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to haunt me. Talk about fucking...
There was a hum coming off his crotch. I didn't want to be... When he left, I didn't want to be at, like, crotch level.
It's very effective. It's a very effective process.
It's amazing. I've never seen anything work like that. But
anyway, he did say this. I shouldn't exert myself too much. So as a result, I've only got an hour to give to this. So I just want to give an hour and then get out of it. So let's just do a real-time episode. Tap out after an hour and then I can go back to bed and recuperate.
Okay,
blah, blah, blah. All right. Oh, I'll never get rid of that cheesy tip stink, will I?
I don't think you needed that extra bit reference there. We could have just stopped then.
Yeah, there's a little bit still there.
No, we could stop now. We could stop this bit. Oh, he's eating it. He's eating Gareth's dried
cock
dick mucil.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, it is like a beautiful blue
cheese.
Hello.
Oh, I've just had a character.
No.
Hello, I'm music called...
Right, see you next week
Dick
on YouTube.
Dick Mucil.
We're just going to get into it. No,
Dick Mucil
gonna...
sings a song.
There's
he sings
no
it
need
like
for this.
He's Dick Mucil. He's
I'm
Dick
Mucil. I'm going to talk over this. It also can't be sampled by Noiseland.
He's Dick Mucil.
Cheap show.
start the clock, please, Mr. Silverman. It is a real-time episode.
Absolutely real-time.
As I can fathom. So, therefore, my levels must be set. My voice must be close to the microphone, ready to pick up all sounds, so I need not adjust the sound levels of a particular vocal cord or two. No, on we go. It's Cheap Show. Welcome to it. How are you doing, Mr. Silverman?
Hadrong Bongo Lord. I'm fine, Paul. A little bit tired from the weekend's activities.
Yes. Were you bopping in the Church of Dance?
I did DJ on Saturday nights. I thought about playing a Halloween song.
Fuck it. What would you even play?
I do have that Yvonne Gage.
Yeah.
Love in a Haunted House, I think it's called, which it sounds exactly like Thriller. Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah, because it's a response song, isn't it?
Not the response song to beat it. Oh. You'll get confused.
This is just another...
Love in a Haunted House. And it literally, it's one of those ones which is really cleverly almost exactly the same.
But legally different enough that they won't get sued.
Yeah, that build-up. You know the build-up at the beginning of Thriller?
I'm going to put a clip of it here.
Yeah.
Then the Haunted House. I'm not going to put a clip in because I'm not editing this. That's the whole point of this.
Shall I play a little bit for you?
I don't want to hear it. This is
how it
goes.
The beginning.
Little in a haunt. So now I have to wait for you in real time to do a web search.
It won't take very long.
You're going to do your little voice thing. Oh, how do you do this?
Shall I do voice?
Yeah, do it. Go on. Play this, that, and the other, whatever it says. Cool. Yeah, go on, do it. Now, we're live. Carry on.
Stop speaking.
We're on the clock.
If you don't stop speaking, it goes over the front of my voice.
All right,
search.
Well, then now we have to have silence in a real-time episode. That's professional, isn't it?
I'll tell you when to be silent, okay?
Go on. Now?
Now it's... Ah! Shit!
Say, shut up, and then I'll shut up.
Okay, shut up. Love in a Haunted House, Yvonne Gage. Play that!
You see, that's the bit I don't get when you do the...
They got it! I got it!
I know it works. I've seen the evidence.
Are you
I'm
ready?
Just saying it's strange. Go on. Put it on. This is a Love in a Haunted House. Yeah. Ooh. No, where's the speakers at the bottom, not at the top? So put it that way.
No, it's the top.
Oh, okay, well then aim it that way. Ooh, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. That's a Thriller, isn't it? Bow, bow. Is there any organ? No, that's organ. Speaking of organs, I've got to give that Gareth a wash. Is there a lyrics?
Bow, bow. Get the idea.
It's close to midnight. The 24-hour shop is still open.
I find it interesting how that was one of the, well, to this day, the biggest selling LP of all history.
Thriller. What took over it? What's now the biggest album of all time?
No, it still is the biggest.
Oh, it still is?
Yeah.
Even after all these years?
Even after Blur versus Oasis,
Or even after Lady Gaga.
After Gaga went Gaga. No one will ever sell that many units again because of the world we live in, if you think about it.
Do you think that's true?
Yes, because albums aren't the same thing.
They're not the same cultural kind of moment, are they?
Songs are not packaged as albums these days as much.
Hang on.
They are still.
I know, no. Hang on. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cheap Show, the economy comedy podcast. I mean, we're 4 minutes in. The economy comedy podcast where Eli and I go for the bargain bins, charity shops, and budget Poundland style pound shops.
Moominland.
And bring you the treasure we find amongst the trash. The fun in the fugal is found.
I find the fun in the fugal.
You do. So that's what the overall concept of this podcast is.
Frugal.
Fugal is a kind of war thing, isn't it? Like fugal war. Fugal, isn't it?
No,
I'm going to look
Fugal war.
Up. No, isn't there
fugal
a
fugal war?
Isn't there a thing about feudalism?
Fugal
that's
war.
That's feudalism, isn't it?
Yes, feudal.
Hang on. So
you're
what's
thinking
fugal?
Of feudal.
What's fugal then?
There is no fugal.
Only Zool. Fugal. Oh, hang on. There is a word called fugal.
F-U-G-A-L. Meaning?
And it says, I'm just going to open it up.
I bet
now.
It goes to Urban Dictionary, not Real Dictionary.
This is the normal dictionary. Of or relating to a fugue or composed
in
the style of
fugue. That's right.
I'm looking up fugue.
It's a musical thing. Term.
Specifically.
I'll tell you what it is.
Go on.
I'll tell you what it is specifically.
Go on.
It is...
I can't think he knows fucking anything.
It's repeat different instruments repeating different repetitions, cycle that builds, and it's part of a symphony structure.
Right, let's tell you how it goes. It says it's a polyphonic composition based upon one, two, or more themes, which are enunciated by several voices or Pot, in turn, subjected to contractual treatment, and then gradually, this is just me guessing, built up into a complex form, having a somewhat distinct divisions or stages of development until a marked climax at the end. However, addendum, there's also a psychiatry term, fugue.
Yeah,
which
fugue
is
state.
A pubian.
You've heard that.
Yeah.
I'm in a fugue state.
A period during which a person experiences loss of memory, often begins a new life, and upon recovery, remembers nothing of the amnesiac phase.
Oh, that's those ones. They're really strange stories,
that's
aren't they?
That's a really fucking worried one. So you get your memory back, then you don't remember being Bob for a bit. It's like, oh, I've got my head, I'm now Bob.
Yeah.
No, now I'm Paul. Who's Bob?
And those years could be years have gone.
Who are my kids?
Do you know that was quite interesting looking up the word fugal there? Because yeah.
We find the fun in the fugal in that
respect.
We do, because we
are quite fugal sometimes. Our podcast broadcasts, Paul,
yeah,
they build up. Themes repeat, don't they? For one or two or more players. And we, the voices.
No, I'm talking about the psychiatrist.
It's like that as well, because we often get amnesia and forget who the fuck we are.
No, it's more of a take on that, where it's like, this isn't really our real lives and who we really are. And then when I come out of it, I forget what we've done in this show. And then I kind of define myself by not what I am in it, but how I make it.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm distanced from the reality of what we do within the podcast. Mm. Whereas outside of it, I see it much more of a mechanical process that I also like to distance myself from.
Could I just say one thing in a two-word way?
Yes.
Wealth-ugle.
Wealth-rugal. He's the richest man in all of Rugaldom.
Oh, has he booked some entertainment?
No.
He has. Do you know who he's got? He's got that old, that, you're not meant to say dwarf now, but he's a musical dwarf. Dick Mukel.
Is this what you want to do?
Yes. Of course it's what I want to do. Why?
Do you think it's appropriate?
Just let Dick in for a minute. He's got a little song and he does around, does
he? He doesn't have to be of small stature, does he?
He's tiny, man.
Then can we just go far with it, make him microscopic, like he's the size of a thumb? Like he's thumb.
You haven't seen Dick?
Nah, I mean, I saw one on the tip of Gareth's, or Gareth was on the tip of his.
That didn't make sense in any way.
I guess he would be the root, wouldn't he?
He'd be on top. If you think of what his dick cheese as a separate entity.
I do.
I mean, it is. It's a very powerful supernatural sorceress.
It's eminently superior.
Emmentali.
Emmentali superior.
Oh, mate, we're cooking now. Come on.
Let's get some more cheese-based cock gags, quick. I smelt it and went, ee, damn, like that.
Oh, fucking.
Come on, what else have we got?
You've stunk it up like a rich camembert.
Oh, come on.
Come on, bear.
Come on, no, it can't be bear, can it? So it's got to be come on. Nah, fuck it. Danny Bear. Right, moving on. Remember Danny Bear? Oh, I can't go off.
Who's
on a tangent.
Danny Bear? That
remember she was a TV presenter.
She was the top ladette, wasn't she?
She was, because she spoke a little bit cheeky.
She had a Cockney accent.
No, she's one of those ones where it's like she looked all lovely, but
can I just
she had
say one thing?
Estuary accent. It's like that made her endearing to audiences. Go
can
on.
I just see one Caerphilly Willy.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
He did wave it over my nose, Caerphilly.
Carefully. Let's taste some mustard.
Oh, no, wait.
We haven't got long, Paul. We're running out of time.
We've got 52 minutes. We've got plenty of time. In the scheme of things, mate, oh, it's a whisper's fart away. So, thank you to everyone who came to the live show. It was nice to see the whole place packed out. We hope you enjoyed the show. I think now that this episode comes out the week after it, you can now watch it on YouTube or you can listen to the podcast, whatever tickles your fancy. But thank you to everyone. Thank you to Tom as well for help filming and throw the edit together of that video. Thank you to Suze, Ethan.
Thanks, everybody.
Ash, and everyone we got to speak
to. We had a very good time.
We had a brilliantly positive experience from doing it. So again, thank you to Giles and everyone at the Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival.
Yeah.
It looks like we'll be back there next year.
Having it. Can I just say one thing before we go on?
Yeah.
I've heard of Pecorino, but his Pecorico. Come on, that's a cheese. It's a cheese, Paul.
Is it?
Yeah, Pecorino.
Okay, all right, fine. I didn't know. I thought
Pecker.
Yeah, but isn't there like a peccadillo? Isn't that something? Peccadillo.
A peccadillo is like a
kink or something, yeah. like a certain thing you like.
A liking for.
He has a certain peccadillo for ladies of a certain height.
Peccadillo. It's also
a naughty pigeon.
It's a little bird that rolls up.
Or a tiny dildo.
Let's move on.
I don't want to do anything.
Well, we've only got fucking half an hour to do everything now.
We were given a load of stuff from the live show. We will get to that in time. We have a few things here today. What do you want to start with, Mr. Silverman? It's mostly a food-based episode this week, so get used to that. We did a bit of music at the top of the show. That will have to cover that genre.
Let's eat some mustard. We got crisps, mustard.
Mustard. Now, this mustard is where you go, I can't remember the name of the people who gave me stuff. And it makes you sound rude and incompetent and unfriendly. So what do you want to say? Who gave you the mustard, Eli?
It was...
Is it?
What did you say the guy's name was?
I told you a few times, didn't I?
It's hot in here now.
It is hot in here.
Have you got the heating on?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes, I turned it off right before we came in.
Oh, it's too hot in here, mate.
I don't know what to say.
I'm entering a food state.
No, you're not.
Who's Bob?
We're entering a food state.
Hey!
So let's get into fooding.
You told me the name Chris Weatherall, is it? Who did songs for us.
Who did like the Country Urban Nude song and what was the other one? I can't remember.
I say between.
Again, that's a fugue state part of me.
I say between.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, two fantastic songs.
I say between won the competition.
And so we said, could you do in the song for next year? But we wouldn't be in competition because it's too good.
And it was brilliant.
It was. Both tracks have been brilliant.
Both tracks are brilliant, thank you. But it was his girlfriend who gave me this mustard from Poland, is it, I think?
They spoke to you, not me, about the mustard situation.
Sorry, I can't remember anyone's name.
It was nice to meet everyone. I'm sorry, we are ignorant human beings and we apologise. Sorry.
This is Polish, I believe, though.
What does that mean, then? What does it mean to the mustard if it's Polish? Because mustard is a particularly British thing, right? Am I wrong? Is mustard a British
Absolutely
thing?
Not.
Where's
Absolutely
mustard from?
Not. Worldwide. All over Europe.
No, but it must have originated somewhere, originally, like the common mustard flavour.
I would say it's from the Germanic part.
Okay,
of the...
Google.
No, don't with the Google. Don't. Yeah, that pissed...
On the website, Britannica.com, Britannica. They say,
yeah.
Mustard. Condiment made from the pungent seeds of either of two
pungent seeds.
Herbs,
two herbs.
Huh. Yeah, we've got...
The principal types are white or yellow.
All right.
Mustard, a plant of Mediterranean origin.
Oh,
Mediterranean.
God.
Or Indian mustard. Indian. Which is of Himalayan origin.
Yeah. Or Himalayan.
That goes far and wide, doesn't it?
It's complicated. It's just funny then that the basic ingredients of mustard seems to have been a universal accepted food mixed.
Yeah. And also, if you think about it, spice was so important for early colonial
expansion. Oh, well, without that, we wouldn't have found the Americas and all that shit.
All of
that stuff.
Found the Americas a bit problematic.
I mean, yeah, you know what I mean.
But,
you know what? Why? But why?
Didn't find it. People were living there.
But from the point of view of the spice traders, they discovered a part of the world they didn't know existed.
They did, and they were horrible colonials.
Absolutely.
Okay, right. Yes, we're on the same page. But I'm saying there was all that thing about pepper and chili, but mustard, because it originated in the Mediterranean, it was early on, must have been used much before black pepper or chili to spice up food, if you see what I mean.
Black pepper.
And it has a heat that is totally... I know we've discussed this on the podcast before because I love sauces.
Yeah.
But mustard has a different heat profile. It's a sulfurous heat profile.
Like a horseradish.
Yes.
Yeah.
And horseradish is also native to Europe, I'm sure. They're related in terms of the heat they produce, but different.
Question.
Yeah.
These haven't got fish in, have they?
I would not have thought so.
Because if they are...
Why would they have fish in?
Just
they
in case, you don't know,
okay,
do
well,
you?
We can check, Paul.
Mustards, maybe Polish mustards have a sardini aspect or something.
Well, these are different flavoured mustards.
Yeah, we've got three jars.
Three jars.
It's like light mustard, dark mustard, darker mustard. We've got one that looks like it's just got onions in.
Onion mustard, never had that before.
Mustarda. Zibubbly up. That's what that says. Next one is...
I'm going to do a little picture search just to see.
Mostrada Delicatessione. And it looks like this is a chili one.
That's chili. It's got
little chili heats on it. And then the last one is Staropolska. And it's another little chili heat one, but it's only two where the other one was three.
No, that can't be right.
It says, what do you mean it says there? And this one says Smak Spretz Lat. Right, that's had three chili heats, and that had two chili heats.
Oh, yeah.
So don't you call me a liar on my podcast.
I wonder if it's chili heats or if it's just...
Mustard heats.
Mustard heats.
Mate, we're going to find out, aren't we?
Isn't that funny?
Because as ever, we're just going to force it into our gobs on spoons and not have anything delicious
put it
to
on
dip
a crisp.
It in.
We've got those crisps to do. You
can we're mucking up the flavour of the crisp.
Well, it's your call, mate.
Yeah, there's no neutral crisp in that selection for us to get a basis, you know? You can't overwhelm it with steak and kidney.
It says Jerusalem mustard.
All right. What does that mean?
Maybe it's got Jerusalem artichokes in. Are you allowed to eat those?
What are Jerusalem artichokes?
They're a thing that aren't artichokes that look a bit like ginger and make people fart.
Why wouldn't I be able to have one?
Don't know, maybe you know.
No, I've never had an issue.
It's only fish and seafood products.
Yeah, anything that comes out of the water weirdly is...
Seafood as well. I mean,
clams, whelks, mussels, cockles, eels.
Oh, come on, name some more seafood.
Bass.
Abalone.
Perch.
That's a good one, huh?
Sole. Funk sole. Funk sole brother.
Right about now?
Right about now, yeah. Something like that. Right, can we just eat this stuff now, please?
Yeah, it's all mustard, isn't it?
Yes, it's all mustard all the way down.
Rolski must be a big brand, because there's a lot of products here. They've got squeezy ones.
Well, you know.
They do what looks like mayonnaise as well.
Right. Can we get on now? It's 15 minutes in. Getting on. I'm just going to open this one.
Let's try them in order.
What order? In what order?
The onion one first.
Right.
And then ascending heat.
Open it. Oh, I'm going to open it. This one is the first jar. It's the lightest of coloured of mustards. And this is the one that's got onions on it, and it's only got one chilli. Right. Pop, which means it's good and it's safe.
I'd say that, in fact, if you think about it, it's not an English thing, mustard, at all.
Oh, boring. Sorry, Christ. Let's just get eaten, man.
Such a cunt sometimes.
No, come on, let's just get eaten, man.
Why do you have some of that?
I like the smell of this. I'm going to give it to you. I want you to tell me what you think it smells like, and I guarantee you will get spot on.
It just came into your head?
The product
thing.
In my mind it smells like, you will instantly go, oh, that's that. Come on. It's such a recognisable smell. It's weird. Come on.
Give me a clue. I mean, the smell.
It's a known Heinz product.
Oh, salad cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, it smells
like
salad cream.
It smells exactly like salad cream.
Do you know what? The word salad cream came into my head, but yeah. I thought, no, is that what he means? It's too obvious.
Well, that's why I said, that's why I knew
so
you were going to get it.
It's like salad cream, isn't it?
Yeah, and I like salad cream.
Do you know what else totally smelled like salad cream?
Gareth, weirdly.
No, that... Monster Munch mayonnaise, which you tried. Was that last week that we tried that? No, it was
2 weeks ago now.
Before you turned into a demon.
Yeah, before it was the demon episode, wasn't it? That?
Yeah.
God,
I hope that didn't have anything to do with it.
No, just don't bring it up again. We're moving on.
Paul, I'm just going to finish my mustard point.
Kalkalkoff is a bad demon. See, I remember.
I'm
going to
finish my mustard point, because you think about French, they've got the smooth and all the bubbly with the poppy bits.
Have you
never had like a whole grain mustard? You never had a whole grain mustard?
Yes, I have had a whole grain mustard.
Well, they don't do whole grain mustard here. It's a French thing.
Right.
So immediately there, you're wrong. About England being the home of mustard.
I didn't say
you
that.
You asserted it. English thing, isn't it? Oh, gammon. We put it on our gammon, don't we?
Mate, I was just saying, my inquiry was, is it an English condiment? Is it mostly known as an English condiment?
Absolutely not.
Right, that was my point. I wasn't decrying anyone's belief, or was I stating that it was the British condiment of choice?
But English mustard is famous world over. So maybe that's what you're referring to.
This is fucking getting dragged out now.
It's only an hour, mate. We're flying through this.
No, we're not, because this is the first thing we've done. Come on. Stop piddling around with your phone.
We're almost 20 minutes in.
Mate, is that counting up or down?
Up.
Right, what's the point of that then?
When it gets to an hour, we stop.
But then we still have to do the maths to work out how much time we got left. And you were like, no, I use my phone. So now we've got two things going, your phone and the recorder, showing the exact same time going up.
Do you want to start another
one? So it makes no odds then, does it?
I don't know why you're getting so frantic.
A timer countdown so we can see the oncoming deadline, right? Not counting up, because we can just count up. We can just count.
I can see
for an hour.
When it gets to 50 minutes, I can see that it's 10 minutes
it's
to go.
It's just redundant. You may as well just stop the thing now.
I want to do it. I like doing it.
It's not
going to
go off in 20 minutes, is it? And
it's
go,
fun.
Oh, game over, boys.
Just let me have some fun.
Yeah, but you didn't even do
before
the right
you go away
thing.
To America.
It's not fun. It's not fun.
You're going to America.
Yeah, I am. This is in the future. I'll be back by then, unless I'm dead. This could be our last episode.
This is what I'm saying, so be nice.
No,
be nice.
I want people to remember me as a bastard who hated everything about what he does and who he is.
To have some mustard, okay? I'm ready to spoon the mustard into the gob.
Right, I'm going
to
have a bit of it. I'm not going to have a load because I don't know what the
this is. This is the onion stuff.
Yeah, this one that smells of salad cream, and I quite
smell
like
the smell of salad cream.
Don't do it on the mic. Turn your face.
Oh, I like that.
That's very sweet. And to me, that's just salad cream. I get the mustard notes. they're there. But that is like 87%
It's very
sour cream.
Mild and sweet, yes. But there's a granularity that you can get the powder when it gets down.
Yeah, the grittiness.
Yeah, a slight grit.
Yeah.
Which isn't in salad cream. Do you know what I mean? That's smooth all the way down.
But that's why it's at 87%, isn't it? And not 100% salad cream.
I think that's nice. That'd be lovely on a sausage.
Or a sandwich, a nice cheese salad sandwich or something.
Lovely. I'm going to might take that home with me. You can keep one of these, but you're not into it.
Well, I like that one the best. And I've only had that one yet. So how would I know which one's the best chip that I get to keep?
You get to keep as many or as few as you like, Paul.
Well, let's go with this one. This is the...
Thank you very much for sending them in.
The two Chili Heat. This
or
is the
giving
one
them to me after the live show.
One day I'll finish a fucking sentence on this podcast. Snack Spretzel Lat. I don't know what that means.
Is this the hot one or the really hot
one? The middle one. The middle hot.
Right. Sniff it. Different smell?
Kind of almost the same as the previous, but with a little bit kind of more of a... smoky funk
smoke
to it.
More smoke and funk.
It's similar but different.
Oh, yeah. It's much...
it's like darker roast.
It's a deeper... Yes.
Yeah.
It's a bass note rather than a high note.
Yeah.
That had a vinegary high note that it's missing from this.
Yeah.
The first
Gareth
one.
Had a vinegary high note as well.
You know what I mean, though?
Very vivid memory of it.
Do you know what I'm getting at, though, Paul?
Still got stuff in my nose.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm in my beard. Anyway... have a little go of it.
It's much deeper, richer, fuller sort of smell coming off.
It's right up there. Right up in its guts. Right, I'm going to do it now as well. Here we go. Nufty, nufty.
Much coarser.
Very coarse.
Mm.
Sparkles of heat rather than a warmth, rather than like a chilly warmth. It's
sweet. I think the Polish style of mustard is much sweeter than... Because like English mustard has no sugar in it, I don't think, does it really? It's all just the heat.
I don't know.
You don't eat English mustard?
No, I'm not a big... Apart from hot dogs.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You go for American style on a hot dog. French's.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is nice.
So far, there's like the kind of much of a muchness. It's like the only thing that really differentiates them is the second one we just had was a little bit more coarse.
It was more coarse. And it's funny. It's in between like a whole grain and a smooth mustard. It's almost in between, which they don't do in British mustard either.
I think this is going to be the same, the third one.
I'm going to taste it just for completeness sake.
All right, let's
hang on. It was a slightly hotter than the onion.
A little bit, but like, as I say, sparkles of the heat rather than a no, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a blanket of heat on the tongue.
Okay. It's because you've got the bits, then as they sort of break up, then they release their mustardiness.
This almost smells the same as the last.
Yeah.
Except...
I bet it does.
There's a high egg
note
to
egg.
It.
There's sulfur.
There's more of an egg note to it.
Well, that'll be the sulfur, because that's what causes the heat. The sulfur in mustard.
But the first two didn't have an
eggy
note.
Oh, yeah, it's a little bit more eggy.
But those first one didn't really have the same eggy note, did they? Eggy note.
It's got an eggy note.
So did Gareth Peters, funny enough, yeah.
True. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, that is the running gag for this week's episode. Thank you.
It's like a fugue state. We're building the themes going.
I'll tell you what, when he waved it over my nose, I was like, state. That was a bit weak. That was very weak.
Going to taste a little bit
of this? Going a little taste of this now.
This is the hottest. Again, back to smoother. Oh, it's got that. It's got a little bit more bite of the mustard at the end.
It does. It's also got.
Not particularly hot, sorry.
It's also, maybe I need to have another bite, but there's like a weird licorice note in there, weirdly.
Mm.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But there's a dark slither or something.
Yeah. Almost bitter, almost like a licoricey bitterness, yeah.
Weird. Yeah. Barky, kind of rooty. I don't know.
Herbal.
Mm.
Yeah.
All lovely, all a bit too sweet, but...
That is the Polish style of mustard, it's very sweet.
Right.
With pork products, fatty pork products, that'd be really nice. It'll cut through the sweetness and the hot heat.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they eat a lot of pork in Poland.
Do they?
I hope it's Polish.
You do?
Because then they do have sausages and hams,
well,
various hams.
If we are incorrect, we'll obviously correct it the week after next, won't we, or something. I don't know. We'll get shouted out.
Did you notice, though, that was back to the smoothness level of the onion one? And the middle one was coarser than both of them,
bitty,
wasn't it?
Bitty.
More bitty.
Yeah.
I'd say my onion one was number one.
Yeah.
Then the hottest, and then my least favourite was the kind of granular middle one.
Mm.
Would you agree with that?
Mm. I think yes, but the last two were kind of either or for me, really.
Okay.
And I only really like the first one because it's a nice salad cream replacement.
Do you want to keep that in your fridge for when you get back from America?
Yeah, I might even have a little bit tonight on a Sammy. a little butty or something.
And I'll take the other two.
All right, good. Well, whatever.
Waste not, want not. Thanks for sending those in.
Thanks for sending.
Or not sending them, giving them to me in person.
Donating it to the
podcast. And me completely forgetting what your name was.
Thank you.
Sorry. This, someone else gave me these.
Do you remember who that was?
No.
Male, female?
Male, and they are from a Scandinavian country.
Was it the guy who, the last podcast tickets?
Could be. Was he Scandinavian?
We're horrible people.
We're not horrible. We were. I was drunk quite quickly.
Yes, you were. Whilst I was like...
Which is a totally responsible thing to do for a man who's almost 50 and is able to hold his booze and is having a nice time with people who support a podcast he's involved with, Paul, at 1 in the afternoon in a drinking establishment.
After the show was finished, it took me about 11 minutes to thank you to the staff, clean up, get the equipment out of the green room, get the audio onto the hard drive, speak to everyone, make sure everyone was cleaned out, get the laptop, all that stuff, come out and then see everyone. You were fucked by that point.
I wasn't fucked in 11 minutes after.
You had 11, you had Eli's glassy eye drunk look on you, where it was like, I've already had 2 G&Ts and it's party time for Eli and you're just going to have to fucking deal with it. That was the look you gave me.
Paul, let's not make this a recreation match. I mean,
a reprehension match?
That is not a word.
I don't know what that word is. So, anyway, you don't remember who they were. We'll never know now. But if these are yours...
Do you have the crisps, the garlic crisps that came with them?
No, you ate them, didn't you?
There were 2 packs.
Yeah, but you had
both
Tom packs.
Oh, Tom got the other pack. No.
Speak closer to the microphone. Stop leaning back.
Tom got the other pack.
Or pull it closer to you if you want to lean
How's
back.
How's this?
Yes, thank you.
Tom got the other pack.
Trying not to fuck with levels, and there you are leaning back from the mic and going... Daddy did this to Dada. Unprofessional.
Tom got the other pack, I think.
Well, lucky good, and you ate them, so I don't know what they were like.
No! Tom got the other pack, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff that was given to us after the live show, don't you remember?
Yes, but Tom, I thought you said 84. You had both packs of crisps.
No, I only had one.
Right, because when we spoke last and you said how much they were lovely, you implied that you had both bags.
Anyway.
And I asked you to bring it today, and so now you're saying that isn't happening.
Let me just say this. Mystery Scandinavian guy who gave me those crisps and... those sweets that we're about to try now. Thank you very much. And can I say, Paul, I've never actually come across a crisp flavoured with garlic. Have you had garlic crisps?
I don't remember. Yeah, maybe. We must have done it on
Barshins
or Cheap
Show. I don't think a pure garlic flavoured crisp.
We must have.
I don't think a pure garlic flavoured potato crisp. Because let me tell you something, Paul. Let me tell you something. I tried them.
Yeah.
You were there. It was at my gaff.
You
loved
them.
I opened them.
Yeah.
I ate one. And deep down inside me, I knew I'd be eating the rest of that packet of crisps then and there. Something inside me. Something so strong.
Yeah, I know I can make it.
Because you're doing me wrong.
So wrong. There you go.
Oh, they were delicious.
Yeah, we do have fun.
Were delicious, those...
These
Those
are the same
crisps.
Things. That, so let's just open one bag so we don't waste them in case one of us doesn't like it or does like it.
Sure.
So these are by a company called, and again,
let's
forgive
have a little,
the pronunciation.
A little visual search, see if we can get any more info, mate.
They're a company called Skawa, Skawa.
Here, give it here. I'm going to lens it.
Lens it. Wait, you could have just used this pack. We have two. Well. I just gave you it for nothing. And they're called Dreis Marinacy Smetanki.
These are Polish.
With smaku.
Perhaps they gave... The lady who gave me the mustard gave me these as well.
Are they mints?
Yeah.
Is that what it translates into? These are mints.
It looks like a sailor on the front.
He does. Like a little merry sailor.
Extra large ones.
Oh.
XXL.
And there's lots of seagulls floating around him for some reason. I don't understand what that's all about.
Sailor's mints. Do you know what's...
Is that like a fisherman's friend? No, but is that like a fisherman's friend?
It could be. But sailor's mints is actually a condition that
Don't.
Why not?
Because I know where you're going to, and I'm not going to have you do a mincing sailor man.
No, I meant mincing. Get mincing as in sort of a vegetable mat, like minced meat. The content of their
pants. We're moving on.
Then you've been at sea for a long time.
All right, so don't open it because I've got this bag. We can just keep one open. So, yeah.
Just give it a sniff, a snuff, and a huff, a jocelate.
A sweet minty huff. And there's little white beads in here. Little bonbon-y kind of mints.
I bet they've got licorice in the
middle.
Are they
going to be chewy or are they going to be full
of... You're going to crunch them down anyway. That's one of your little habits, isn't it?
They might be soft like a bonbon.
Oh, they've got a vanilla smell.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
It's vanilla and mint.
No, they're not mint. I don't know what that is.
They're little bready balls.
They're not. It's chocolate in it or something.
Yeah, and bread.
What is this?
It's very vanilla-y. They're like little Kinder balls.
What is this?
It's very vanilla.
I don't like that.
They're soft, aren't they?
Maybe it's because I've not had sugar in a while, properly. And these are hitting my taste buds real hard, but...
Very sweet.
I don't like the texture.
I like them.
It feels like chalk, almost chalky with a kind of crumbly middle.
It's like cake inside.
Not for me. I can't enjoy them. They're too sweet. They're too like sharp and like intensely sweet.
They're
and
like cake inside.
Vanillary.
They're like little cake, little icing balls with cake inside and chocolate.
I guess, yeah. They're it nice. Is like you just pull a piece of icing off a Christmas cake or whatever and then you just wolf it down.
Mm.
Which is fine when you have cake to go with it and offset it.
They'd
in
be
the
good
soft...
on a cake, wouldn't they?
Maybe.
Can't try one more.
No, I'm fine. They're not horrible. They're just not for me. Right. I didn't find them very appealing.
We've got to do half an hour more, Paul.
We've got these, haven't we? So for some reason recently they brought out these fucking crisps and we got them sent to us at the live show.
Who's brought them out?
Someone you can find them in B&A or whatever it's called, and B&M, and
B&A is that a
bowel movement? No, you can get them in like, you know, Home Bargain, B&M's, those kind of budget discount stores.
Warehouse stores.
But what's interesting is that for some reason, the branding of these are all based on the mascot of the 1980s quiz show, Bullseye, the bully, the animated bull.
Who gave
Bullseye.
You these?
I can't remember now.
Oh, and there he was, having a go at me for not remembering someone's name who came to the show, and he cannot remember shit himself. Jack shit.
Sometimes I ask myself, whose is this beautiful house?
Just
this is not my happy home. These are not my beautiful kids.
You know, Tony Basil.
Letting the days go by.
She choreographed that.
Oh, did she?
That's what the fact I was going to...
thing. Yeah. Was that him? Her?
Yeah.
I didn't think
she's not in the suit.
No,
she
I know.
She choreographed David Byrne.
Oh, fair
they
enough.
They worked it out. She's genius.
No,
that is
Tony
a
Basil
great...
was genius.
The way he dances in that video is so brilliant.
Yeah, and iconic. It's like
it's iconic bit of choreography, isn't it?
Of the 80s specifically as well.
Anyway, I'm glad I remembered that. Funny how these things come round. Because everybody, we were having a little conversation about Tony Basil before.
Yeah, because she was in a horror film as part of a video's YouTube series. It was like, I'm surprised no one noticed her. And she's had this crazy career of doing... everything for the past 60 years or something involves dance and music and art.
Yes, but...
I've got some singles of hers. We'll do them on another episode. We'll do a Tony Basil appreciation episode.
The youngest amongst us wouldn't necessarily know anything about her because she didn't have a big cultural moment for at least 30 years. Do you see what I mean? 20 years.
Until she released Mickey in the 80s.
Yeah, that's 40 years ago.
And that was a remake of a British glam band or something, wasn't it, that
yes.
song? Hey, Mickey, you're...
It's a cover version, yeah.
She added the kind of cheerleader... beat to it and obviously choreographed the video, which is iconically
80s. The 80s was 30 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, she was in her 40s when she released that, I think, or late 30s. So she was, I'm not going to say past her prime, that's obviously not true, but you know, she was like, she wasn't a young artist when
she
released
young,
that. No. So anyway, going back to Bullseye, which is, you know, the way we work on this podcast, we're a little show of segues and tangents, aren't we?
Right.
Segues and tangents.
The mascot of the game show Bullseye is an animated bull that dressed like Jockey Wilson, you know, in the old darts uniform kind of thing. And it went, when people ran out of time and shit. We've done Bullseye tons on the show.
Yes, it's a classic piece of British hauntology.
One of the best British game shows, I think, of its era, genuinely.
It certainly fucking shits on Dusty Bin.
3-2-1,
God.
Yeah, 3-2-1's legacy is completely defined by its absolute fucking nonsensical bullshit. And cheesy, awful acting and comedy sketches.
Yeah.
Bullseye is a legitimately great concept for a game show, expertly achieved, and I think, you know, nice and complicated, that allows anyone the chance to walk away with the top prize, even if you lose the first round.
Well, that's what
that's
you
interesting.
That was what was interesting about what you were saying to me the other day, Paul, about it.
Yeah.
You think, but you know, that relates to why they think that football, soccer, is the world's most popular sport.
Why?
Because the underdog has the biggest chance, statistically, of an upset, of winning.
Okay. So people like that underdog
well,
story
potential. Well, that's
exciting.
That yeah. makes
that's
it exciting.
True. Here's a question. You know, they always fucking gave it a go. Like, they brought out Bullseye, it's darts, and then they did that big break snooker.
Didn't work the same way.
No, Big Break was still successful, right? Yeah. It was snooker, but a game show.
Snooker was huge.
Darts, but a game show. And then there was also Jimmy Tarbuck's, what was it called?
Golf.
It was a golf one, but it was called like First Stroke or
Tee Off with
Back Hole or something. I can't fucking remember. Jimmy Tarbucks. What is his name? Bibby Tarbucks.
Johnny.
Johnny Tarbucks.
Jim
Tarbucks. All words sound like nonsense now. Now I literally can't think of the name. Jammy Tarbuck. Jim Jam, Jimmy Jam, John Jarmy.
Pavarotti.
Pavarotti, Jim Jarmy. Doesn't matter. The point
Bobby
is...
Bobby Tarbuck?
The point is...
What's he called?
Jimmy Tarbuck.
He's Jimmy Tarbuck.
It is?
Yeah. It's Jimmy, yeah.
Ho ho. Anyway, ho-ho. What I'm surprised by is that there's never been like a football game show where football was a sport as part of the point scoring.
Mm.
I mean, I know maybe it's not practical. Maybe they need to do those kind of more parlor gamey kind
they
of
have,
indoor
that's
sports.
That's the point, Paul. It's the parlor aspect. It's the sort
but
of...
why wasn't there a bowling game show? We could have done a bowling game show.
I'm sure there have been. Maybe not in British TV, but
yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Sure there's been American.
The Brunswick TV game show Half Hour, where it's questions and bowling.
I'm sure there's been stuff in America.
That would work similar to a bullseye.
It's totally
respect.
The same. I mean, you could just... You could transplant it, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean...
You could transpose it onto bowling.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, it's just an interesting thing, isn't it? As I said, anyway, the point is, for some reason, some cunts have created a company called Bullies, and then they licensed the mascot from Bullseye to advertise their new range of crisps. This is the long story way of saying we're eating four packets of crisps.
Crisp number one.
But what I noticed is that...
And one! Yeah, we could do that with each packet crisps.
Yeah, normally in two. We get it for two crisps. Yeah, yeah. But no, it's interesting that the company that makes these is literally called, like, Bulls. Or something.
Bullies.
Yeah, produced in the UK for Bully Trading Limited.
There you go.
But I'm wondering, did someone set up a company just for like bully licensing?
Probably.
And this is one of their kind of tendrils.
I bet they just own the thing and they maybe put the crisp in the packets or something.
Anyway.
And I bet there's some other bigger crisp manufacturer who makes the crisps for them.
There's a fucking QR code on it. And also on the top, it has the catchphrase from Bullseye, which is Eli.
Throw a dart at it. Hello.
Throw a dart at it. That's what we all remember, isn't it? Throw a dart at it.
I don't. What is it?
You can't beat a bitter bully. Or you can go, you know, two in the bad, two in the pink, in the stink, whatever that one is as
you
well.
You can't beat a bit of a bully is a very forgettable.
You can't beat a bitter bully. Yeah, but we all recognise it, don't we?
I didn't
stay
remember
out
it.
Of the, stay in the red and out of the black. Don't do that or you won't get your prizes back. Something like that. That was the phrase, wasn't it? Right, I'm going to do the QR code now, Dad. Scan me for more Bully. Oh, hang on. Right, I've opened it up. And where does it take me? Bullysnacks.co.uk. He wants to confirm if I'm over 18. What kind of website is this? Well, what kind of website?
It's probably a website we can spend money.
So, oh, they have beer, that's why.
Yeah, of course.
So they do Bullies, crisps and beers. Our crisps... created on a farm in Yorkshire using homegrown potatoes.
Mm.
These small batch hand-cut crisps are an absolute bullseye for sharing with a bully beer. And then they have bully beers.
Okay.
And bundles, bully beer bundles.
Fair enough.
What's the beer they have then? Because they have three flavours. Game On Lager, Bullseye Craft Lager. And that's it, I think. Yeah, just the two. Game On and Bullseye.
You know, fine.
4%. They're going to taste like absolute piss.
Well, we don't know these crisps. They're kind of bigging up the crisps, aren't they?
Well, let's get into it. We've got four flavours to get through. We're going to start with...
I don't think we should start with those.
Why not? It's cheese and onion. It's the most boring of the three flavours you've got.
It will affect my mouth. Fine.
What do you want to do then? Because we've got salt and vinegar, a meat one, and another meat one. So what do you want to start with? I thought this is the most neutral.
Let's start with one meat one. Please.
Do you want to do chili beef? Sizzling chili beef? Or do you want to do... steak and ale.
Steak and ale, please.
That's your meat and potatoes flavour.
It's
apart from potatoes.
Meat and beer.
Well, it
flavor.
Is meat and potatoes. Meat flavour and they're crisps. So,
yes,
yeah.
Sir. But there's also beer in there.
They received the proper bully treatment. What does that mean? Does that mean like he drives them there in a thing and then ejects out the seat and then leaves people to die in the back of his bus? Which I've never understood.
Oh, yeah, that's in the animated intro.
Yeah, they have a lovely crust and they're lovely with beer. And you can get gifts.
They have a crust.
For
crisps don't have a crust. Bread has a crust.
Here, scan the QR code for gifts, darts leagues, and venues. What does that even mean?
It's sort of like a vertically integrated company that's trying to be all about supplying venues and pubs.
With a British...
And also they've got the darts. They play darts in those places. So it's all like, you know...
And Bullseye is still representative of a type of British pop culture in the early 80s.
Yes.
We all know what I'm getting at. But that when people say, oh, Britain ain't what it used to be. They're thinking of basically bullseye. You know, it's what it comes down to.
I don't know. I think that's your way of looking at it, but
just saying that's a reductive way.
Working class are the words coming to my head.
Yeah, but to be fair, think about how there's not much of a representation of the working class properly on TV in that respect.
Mate.
Anyway,
there's none. We're all the fucking working class now.
There's never going to be a Will Tappers and Shunters club again. That kind of thing,
no.
Really.
That's because fucking Thatcher and her like have ironed
out... A little bit
out...
of politics there, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit of politics. Thatcher, boo. Reagan, what a bastard. Right.
Have ironed out any union
this smells like
solidarity.
No, this smells like a horse's stable.
A horsey? It's got a horsey musk.
Smell this.
Is that the ale?
Tell me this doesn't sound like you've just opened a box with a dead animal in.
It won't sound like that. I mean...
It does. It sounds
like
that.
You said sound.
Well, I meant smell. And you're a cunt. Come on.
I'm going to
jostle it and then huff. Jostle and huff.
The jostle and huff.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my whole snout in there like a horse in a feedback.
Good, because you're going to regret that. Trust me.
Really?
Go on. Steak and ale. There is a very...
Oh, yeah. It's...
There's a manure-y stable scent.
It's like hay.
Yeah.
It's
like mucking out the barn.
Yeah, it's a grassy old wet grass and hay.
Yeah.
Off hay.
Off hay.
Pissy old hay.
Come on, have one. It might taste better.
But there's also a herb, like an oregano...
Well, this is steak and ale, so maybe that's what we're getting there, the yeasty thing.
I'd like to get a yeasty,
yeah,
crispy, yeasty...
Yeah. Gareth's just outside, you know.
I wish he'd go. Nah. It's coming through the door.
I know. I put a draft excluder down, but it's not stopping it. I think it's the keyhole. Anyway, we're going to have one. They're ridged, and they're thick. Mm. They're thick, crisp, and crunch.
Nice. Standard.
Standard.
But very nice. Salty. Mm. Got some umami.
I don't know about the ale element.
They taste more like a roast chicken, like a classic roast chicken to me.
Yeah, like a slightly more oxo-y chicken.
Yeah.
You know if you like scrimbled some oxo on a chicken crisp or something?
Yeah, I scribble it all over, yeah.
Gareth did the same thing.
Point
my nose.
Gareth.
I like that.
Definitely, you know, not like a hula hoop beef.
Yeah.
It's not like that kind of beef. It's closer to a chicken. It's closer to chicken. Nice, though.
It's fine.
And they're ruffled and they're good, nice and crunchy. Thick cut.
I think good value for money. I think they're more like a quid something. These aren't too bad.
Those are nice.
Right, okay. Next one. I want to do salt and vinegar. It's astringent and I want it out the way.
Let's get the astringents out.
Right, so this is a green pack. That was a brown pack. This is a green pack using the iconology of Bullseye and Bully.
And green, obviously, is what Walkers use for their salt and vinegar.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yeah. So it's going by the Walkers routine.
Who are the dominant brand.
Yeah. Pictures on our website, thecheapshot.co.uk, for this episode. Right. Smells like salt and vinegar,
Chris.
This
isn't going to be anything. Let's just get this out
of
the
way. No, that's what I'm saying. Let's get it over with. Well, they might be a fine, solid salt and vinegar.
Nice salt and vinegary smell on the nose.
Yeah. No notes. Salt and vinegar.
They're like a McCoy's salt and vinegar, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, no notes. There's nothing surprising, nothing
They're
underwhelming.
Good. They're good.
Two for two, really. Solid. I want to do cheese and onion next.
I'm just going to have a sip of my...
All right. Jostle and huff. Not so much of a scent on this. A bit cheesy, feetsy, but it's not too strong.
What's this, cheese and onion?
This is cheese and onion.
Okay.
C-H-E-S-E-A-N-D-O-N.
I'll just turn my Jostle-Lake machine on.
A-O-N, cheese and onion. Who sang that?
Neil Innes and the Ruttles.
You did indeed. All right, stop it. I don't like that because you're doing it like it's a ball bag. Bit feetsy.
It's a strong cheese odour. Not a lot of onion. I'm getting a lot of cheese on the nose. I mean, that's what happened to you, of course, isn't it?
Every other day.
Yeah. He's getting he's doubting that, Chris.
No, it's fine. It's very reminiscent of another cheese and onion flavour I'm trying to replace. And I don't know if it's like a square crisp flavour profile.
Yes, that's right. Spring onion flavoured square crisps. That's what you're getting.
Well, you know, I was thinking of this, you know, the cheese flavour.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of cheese flavour.
It's the KP sort of cheese and onion rather than
which
the Walkers.
I've always kind of liked, to be honest.
Yeah.
I kind of like
that. I know what you're getting. There's a distinction. Mm. It's less...
It's more funky, like a Watsit cheese.
It's more funky cheese, yeah.
Yeah. And we're all for funk around here. Oh, and the final one then.
I mean, he is just outside. I think he's getting excited.
I'll do that joke.
Okay.
I'm I've been delivering those gags pretty regularly and successfully for the past 45 minutes.
Fine.
And I can see you jumping on the bandwagon to try and get a bit of that. And it's
I
a little
want
bit...
some of that Gareth's knob job.
Well, you have
action.
To wait for the right moment, don't you?
We are into the last quarter of an hour here, Paul.
I know, I can see it on my own recording
Well,
system.
I'm here with you, Paul.
But what's the back time it? How long have we got left? Back time it, quick. Like a 13 DJ
13 minutes and 30 seconds.
Right, that's about two tracks and a link or two between them. It's fine, it's good. Right, sizzling chili beef. This is the only one where we might be surprised by the flavour. Because, you know, steak, ale, you know, fine beef, you know, cheese and onion. This is the only one that's ever so slightly unique.
Judging by how those have gone, I think it's going to be a sort of, you know, a disappointingly sort of sweet and un-chili-like chili flavour.
I've only just noticed this as well. In the corner, they've got a bit of a drawing and a blackboard, and it says, Super Smashing Great. I want to know if they've got the license to use that. Was that, like, part of the agreement to use the brand, that you could use fucking Jim Bowen's phrases?
Probably, yeah. Because they seem to be, you know, they seem to be Bowen positive, don't they?
Yeah, but you don't see Bowen's face on this,
you
do you?
You don't see his face on it, no.
Is it going to get an AI dead Bowen voice?
Perhaps they said to the lawyers, what do you think about putting Super Smashing Lovely on? And the lawyers said, look, it's so generic. It's literally three very common words in a certain order.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So maybe you can't.
They had to cancel the ones that they had going for a while. They had Jimmel Crispit, and it was like a big bag of like crisps that had Jimmy Savile's lace.
Savile's
like,
crisps.
Yeah, like there was a medallion on the packet with the crisp flavour on.
I can so see it.
Do you know, like Savile's salt and vinegar.
Come on, get them open.
Cheese and onion, whatever, you know, or jingle jangle beefy beefy or something. I don't know, whatever his catchphrases were. Guys and dolls, salt and vinegar. I don't know. Guys and gals.
Morgue child.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
He's an evil cunt. He's such an evil cunt.
He was an evil cunt. Yeah.
Just horrible human wreckage.
We're coming into the last 10 minutes.
Right, let's open this. I'm jostling.
Good jostulation happening over there, and Paul is opening the pack right now. And it's... Oh, he's gone for the fresh huff.
Ooh.
Ooh, and he's recoiled.
No,
tangy.
There's a definite chili beef to this.
Okay.
You know, like a kind of Taco Bell mince kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. More like a Doritos.
Very brown.
And they've got a brownness as well. They've got, like, they've been spiced.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that. I don't like that flavour. Mm. It's that artificial chili. And he's agreeing with me as he eats the first crisp there.
Well.
Nah.
It's fine, but yeah, I agree. I don't like that profile. It's a different kind of funk I'm not quite in on.
Is that? It's almost like an artificial chili. It's almost like
what is that flavour, that spice they're trying to put in? What is that?
It's pepper, chili pepper.
Is it like a cayenne pepper or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, but Paul, I'm about to say something and I think you're going to enjoy what I'm about to say.
Go for it. As long as you do it into the microphone.
You know, like coffee cake or coffee sweets have a certain sort of artificial coffee flavour.
Yeah.
That is to real coffee what sort of this chili flavour is to real chili. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
It's sort of an artificial...
Like banana.
Yeah. It's an artificial...
I mean, it reeks of
Taco Bell. Approximation of chili, but somehow it doesn't... It hasn't got the full flavour range of an actual chili. Do you know what I mean?
Well...
And it's not very hot either.
No,
that's
my
least favourite of all of them.
But I'm going to do the bully cocktail where I've got four crisps of all four flavours representative.
Oh, you're doing a cocktail.
And I'm going to have a bite of them now and see what happens. Let's find out.
He's stuffed the whole lot in and he's crunching down. He wish he hasn't done that. He's regretting it.
This might take 10 minutes.
It's going to take a long time.
It feels like...
Paul, did you ever fall for that thing where someone said, I bet you can't eat these four crackers in 5 minutes? And you tried it. This is what happened. It looks like that.
I'm having the same fucking problem.
You're having the same problem. There's bits of...
I'm like being waterboarded by potatoes.
Nice. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
We've got 10 minutes yet.
We do. Well, slightly under.
No.
We don't want to just listen to you masticate for 3 minutes.
Right, I'm done. I'm cleared. My gob's empty.
Your gob is empty. Shall we start? Let's wind this up.
What have we got to know? We've got 10 minutes. What can we squeeze in before I have to have a lie down for my possession? I'm bringing it back to the story.
Well, nothing. let's talk about you going to LA, mate.
No, because I'll be back by then. I don't care. It's my holiday. Shut up. By the time this goes out, there's probably been pictures already of me going, look at me.
Will you?
So don't worry about it. Don't cement this in the time.
Will you send pictures to
me? I'll send pictures to you, and I'm going to go to that donut shop, and I'll send you pictures. What I might try and do is take a get a Tupperware-y thing and get you one and bring it back.
Bring a donut home with you.
I can't promise I'll bring it home in one piece, but I'm going to try. If I can find a little Tupperware thing, I'll put a few in and put it in a suitcase.
Please do be on that. This is the last thing I'll say.
Go on.
Do be on the lookout for unusual soft drinks and stuff like that.
Oh, no. Part of my remit when I'm out there is I'm going to try and go to, you know, 7-Elevens and come and goes or whatever and grab what I can.
Do they have come and goes in that part of the country?
I don't know, but maybe.
You know, what's the one?
Dick and Splash. I mean, that's what Gareth did, actually. Come and go. Worked for me. Yeah, I didn't. Well, got me a high horse then, didn't I? And then the horse went, nee! And threw me off.
Yeah.
Absolutely Christopher Reeve'd me.
Oh, dear. Humor. Jimmy Savile, Christopher Reeve.
They're not related, as in what they did was evil.
No, Reeve was a fucking angel. He was an angelic man.
Yeah, there's a documentary coming out, isn't there now, about him? About, you know, the Hopi
really
inspired
nice person,
and stuff.
Wasn't
no. Not Jimmy Savile. Christopher, I was going to say Jimmy Savile was the loveliest person I ever heard.
No, don't say that.
No, but I was meant to say, I mean, it's Christopher Reeve,
It does seem like he was an incredibly lovely person.
Yeah.
And that's why the casting for Superman was genius.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
It's that famous shot, isn't it, in Superman. Is it Superman or Superman 2 where he's all Clark Kent? And he wants to reveal himself to Lois Lane, and she turns around, and he like corrects his posture, and in that one moment, he literally goes from Clark Kent to that Superman. It's like, I know it's a superhero, but like people underestimate just how he makes that fictional character
work.
Yeah, and
it's because of that fucking that.
Oh, chair went down.
The sort of heroic goodness.
Da, 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 da.
The unironic that comes from him, you know.
And then
out
all it takes is a Zack Snyder to say, oh, no, I can't have
he's
honesty
and
purity and like what that character stands for. Let's make him a moody cunt.
Yeah.
Let's make him a moody, violent baby who's all stroppy and has a god complex, which is implicit in the comics but explicit in all of his work because he doesn't know what the word subtlety is. Oh, well, Zack Snyder, if you're listening to this, meet me in the schoolyard tomorrow after school.
I don't think he's going to get a chance anymore.
Punch him right in the knob.
Didn't he do that big Star Wars
Rebel Moon.
Was that on Netflix
Who gives a fuck? Part 2 came out and then they mixed it together and who gives a fuck? When people say, oh, actually, it was the most viewed thing on Netflix, I was like, well, of course, because no one has to pay to use it, so it's no gamble for them.
Yeah.
Nor do they want to go out and see it.
Yeah.
It's got a large viewing figure because it's new and you're bored and you go, I'll fucking watch that then.
Yeah.
And then Netflix sees you've watched 50 minutes of it and goes, that's the whole thing.
Oh, dear.
Rebel Moon,
I'm a bit too close for comfort for that.
That's my Rebel Moon.
I watched that thing.
Bubble Moon, more like.
Any films that you're hoping are going to be on the plane?
No.
Sorry, I'm bringing it up again.
I don't think there's anything I'm going to look forward to watching, so I'm not even thinking about it.
And what have you got lined up coming up for Cheap Show over the next few months?
Whatever I bring back from America.
We'll do that.
And we've got loads of stuff from the PO boxes and everything people gave to us from the live show.
You've said we can finish the Grumpy Sessions project.
We've got a Grumpy Sessions project on the go.
We'll finish it. Oh, he's gone goblin mode right at the end.
Gary, goblin
mode. Stop coughing, and you're not going to smoke when you're out there.
No, I don't. I tend to just naturally not want to.
I know.
It's so weird.
I know.
That's why I might not come back. And then what are you going to do?
This is what I was kind of concerned about.
That I might not come back.
This is why I thought it might be the last one ever we ever do this.
Yeah, I might not come back. I might go out there and be a star.
I don't think you'd...
Johnny, producer from America, goes, hey, buddy, you look great for our new tentpole summer blockbuster movie.
You'd run out of money. It's even more expensive than London.
I'll figure it out. I'll work my way to the top. I'll work it all hard to the top.
And we're into the last 5 minutes, everyone.
And this is where I mentally give up and start riffing on nonsense. Anyway, so he comes up to me and goes, do you want to be in the movie? And I'll be like, I'll do it. All right, go on.
Hey, you want to be in the movies?
Why, I would love to, honest-looking American Hollywood producer.
Well, you just come back to my place and fucking ream me out. My wife's going to be there.
Will she be watching?
No, she'll be making pancakes. That's my peccadillo.
Can I fucking peg you?
That's what I'm asking for.
Then I would love to.
And I ain't no producer.
And hey, Well, that's fine. I don't care.
Come to my house.
Car?
It's up here.
Yeah, let's go up the hills.
Just a little way. I haven't got a car.
Beep, beep.
I haven't got a car.
I know, but I've got a madness where I just go beep, beep. I think I'm road on it.
That's it. I'm pulling out. I don't want no crazies.
You're pulling out?
Hang on, have we done a minute?
No, we've got four more.
You know what? Would be perfect for this.
We actually should have done some content.
You know what would be perfect for
this?
You know who'd be perfect for this?
This is the risk with live show
stuff. Listen, I'm going to go get him.
Who?
He'd be perfect for this.
If you dare bring in a new character.
Dick Mucal.
No.
He's not new.
No.
He's not new.
No, I can't be arse of characters now.
You saw him.
We did a nice bit at the top.
He'll just watch the dance and you just tell the listeners what he's doing, okay?
Dick!
I don't like it when he does characters anymore.
Dick.
They're always horrible.
Come on.
Oh, Dick.
Hello, everybody.
Eli, is he meant to be naked?
Yeah, that's part of the act. I mean, it's famous.
I just found it
all right,
a bit...
Dick, whenever you're ready, you just describe what he's doing.
All right, does he need music? Does he need music? He's jigging. He's kind of running on the spot and jigging, and he's grabbing at his balls. I think he's reaching from behind and grabbing at his balls.
All
right, that's that bit then. That's that bit then. So, Eli, sit down. I just want to go through your character assessment.
No, that was Dick Mucal.
I just want to do your character survey, a character assessment survey. We like to do this when we introduce new characters to the show. So,
what
was the name? I just want to take some notes for the Cheap Show metadata. So that was the character's name was?
Richard Mucal.
Richard Mucal. And what does he do? What's his USP?
He dances. He used to work in the music hall.
And, okay. And why was he naked?
That's his part of his thing. They used to call him, I don't know if I can say this, but... the little naked dwarf of Basingstoke.
Right, the Dappy Dangler used to say he was called on the posters.
Yeah.
Dick
he had
the
lost
Dappy
several
Dangler.
Names.
Yeah, because he used to do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
The nudie nubbin
now, outside
of Basingstoke.
That, outside of the background story to the character, I just want to speak to you, Eli, the creator of that character. Are you happy with it?
Not 100%, but...
Would you want to work on it for next time?
I would like some time to develop the character. He's only had a few minutes.
Well, the survey gives you one more go with that character, and if it doesn't pass the second stage, then we will be severing it from
existence.
Well, you'd
have to build up to some huge story arc to kill him.
Nah, Cheap Show don't do story arcs no more.
It don't. You don't do nothing no more.
Excuse me?
You try and kill... all the characters in the... That's why the Grumpy Sessions project has never been completed.
No, it never gets completed because it takes a lot of work to do and I can't do the whole edit in 1 week, so we have to split it up. But our schedule has been so mad the past few weeks that it's been impossible to get together to record it. As a result, we are still working on it, but I think we started in March, didn't we?
We did.
And we're fucking, November
it's
now?
It's been at least a year in the gestation.
And it's shit, so we don't need to release it at all.
See, this is... Yeah. This is now we come to it.
Anyway, this is my survey for you, not the other way round.
Well.
Anyway, I'm going to give him a 4 out of 10 at this point.
Are you
going
to
room for improvement the next second opinion?
I like the name Dick Mucal.
Yeah, Paul, now, we just need to make
we're
sure.
We're in the last minute now, Paul.
Oh, God.
Should we say goodbye to everyone?
No.
Okay, well, I'll say goodbye to everyone, yeah?
Go on, then.
You've got a one-stop shop for all of your Cheap Show needs, and that is...
Here we go. 10, almost 10 years.
TheCheapShow.com.
No.
CheapShowUK.com.
No, it's not even UK. TheCheapShow.co.uk.
Oh, .co.uk.
And you can email us if you want to at TheCheapShow@gmail.com. However, you're right. Everything else, go to the website. There are links to everything and everywhere. It's fine. Go.
Thank you.
We do have patrons who help support us. We want to thank you for that. We appreciate it. And as we always say, we wouldn't be 10 years and 400 plus episodes deep without your help. So, thank you.
10.
Oh, no.
8.
Better add a minute on.
7.
Because you're cutting out all your racist shit.
Oh, wait, we're adding 1 minute then.
Yeah.
Right, we're down to 1 minute now.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Not racist. Take that back. It was because I was revealing
a
little bit.
We have to add another minute then, don't
no,
we?
No, a little bit too much about your...
peccadillos.
Yes.
And I was revealing
your
too much about your
social anxiety.
Peccadillos as well. So anyway, that's our website. patreon.com/cheapshow is where you can go to if you'd like to get involved and get access to all kinds of Cheap Show goodies.
Lots of stuff there. There is lots of stuff.
Just exclusives just for you guys. So thank you all. About 30 seconds, right?
And
now.
We'd love the support the patrons give us. Give what you can, but only if you can.
Yeah, that's true. Right then, where is he? Here is he. Paul, you're going to come with me now, little lad. We're going to take you home. You've done an hour now.
Go on.
So we're going to go. All right, Eli, he wants me to go with them.
I'm go on go then, Paul. Go on, I can do the last 10 seconds.
All right, and he's just going to... what's that? Just follow me. Where we go? Just follow me.
8, 7, 6, 5... Please don't.
Come over here, will you?
Stop, press the button. Hang on. That's it. That's an hour and 1 minute.
Oh, I'm feeling better now. Oh, Gorgonzola? Gorgonzola?
Just press the button.
Gorgonzola?
Paul, this isn't... Press the button! I'm not interested in this anymore.
Bye, everyone. See you next week on the podcast called Cheap Show. Bye.